You know, I was looking, I saw a story the other day that iconic brand Bluebell has come out with a new flavor. The new flavor for the summer is A&W Root Beer Float. Well, you can't have a better combination for sort of comfort food and nostalgia than Bluebell and an A&W Root Beer Float, which reminded me it's been too long since we've checked in with the chairman and CEO of A&W Restaurants, Kevin Basner, who joins us right now. It's good to have you with us.
David, it's great to be here again. Again, it has been a little bit too long, but on a hot day like this, you know, the only thing better than Bluebell Root Beer Float is an A&W Root Beer Float in a frosted mug, man.
Yeah, no, you're right. But, you know, I'm serious. And actually, I'm talking to other people about this, too. Is A&W really does sort of conjure up, at least for me, too, and I think other people, too. I grew up in a small town. We had an A&W. You go down there, the car hop would come out, and for like a nickel, bring you this gigantic mug of root beer. And it brings back sort of pleasant memories.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the interesting things. Well, it's no longer a nickel. We still have a number of those drive-ins out there, around 43, I think. So, I mean, those are, you know, our legacy restaurants from over the years. And small towns are very good to us, have been very good to us over the years. And as we have in the last several years coming out of COVID accelerated our development of new stores, we're being well received in those small towns. Of course, many of them we used to be back in the day, right? So we're going back into those towns. The consumers are embracing us. And yeah, those memories are real. I mean, we're 105 this year, right? 105 years we've been around. And this brand, and I've been on and off for, gosh, 35 years associated with the brand, 40 years, really. And those stories are real. I hear them all the time from the consumer. Remember when, you know, when I went with my grandparents, I went with my cousins, I went, you know, I went to the drive-in in my slippers, right?
That that's what happens when you got a company that was founded in 1919, but you alluded to it. I mean, they've been through some cycles and yum brands, you know, the parent of Kentucky Fried Chicken and Pizza Hut and everything else, owned it for a while, then spun it out, and now, I guess for over a decade, you've been owned by your franchisees. I mean, it's like an employee-owned company.
Yeah, well, kind of. Yeah, it's been 12 years now, for sure, since we broke off from Yum and became an independent brand again. Of course, Yum's strategy was dual branding, right, with A&W and mostly KFC, primarily. Long John Silver's was actually started before Yum acquired us, but
there's still some, right, that are
yeah, going. There's some. There's less than half of one of those assets remaining since we acquired the business 12 years ago. Our focus has been, and certainly coming out of COVID, our focus has accelerated in terms of growing the core business, if you may, the base brand restaurant.
Well, and the company had shrunk somewhat, right? And so you're really building it back.
We're starting to build it back again. We'll be our second year and accelerating in terms of positive net stores, if you may, net stores, base brand locations.
So you got like 900, or is that right now?
Well, in total, yeah, between domestic and international, almost 50-50, a few more domestically than we have internationally, and as we said, the co-brand business that we inherited from Yum has diminished, and it continues to diminish because we haven't. While we support them and we work with our franchise partners, that's not a growth vehicle for us. Hasn't been since we did the acquisition.
It's interesting. Like I said, it's an interesting mix, if you will, that you've got. The franchisees owning the company. And one reason I ask that is one of the controversy I've been hearing in QSR lately, quick service restaurants, is like with McDonald's, and I think Wendy's tried the same thing, is sort of coming out with these cheap meals, $5 meals, that the owners don't want. I mean, they can't make any money doing that. I guess McDonald's is trying to drive traffic or get market share or whatever else, but it's breaking the franchisees. I'm guessing you would have a tough time doing that since those are your bosses.
Yeah. Well, it's more than that for the brand. One is it's they're my bosses for sure. But the other thing is really since we did the acquisition, we've really focused on quality as our long-term value proposition, right? And we need to grow profitable with the emphasis on profitable same-store sales. So that value consumer that you hear the competitors, McDonald's, I think it was yesterday we released their quarterly reports, and their sales were down the second quarter, which is why you saw a $5 meal deal. Well, our sales were up 3.5% in the second quarter, and we're not doing a $5 real deal meal. In fact, our most recent promotion was a $6.79 hamburger, right? And that's what we want to do. And it was a quality burger, a Boursin cheese, French onion cheeseburger, grilled onions, Boursin cheese, double patty, hot off the grill. That's what we're serving in that $5 meal deals.
So tell me about the challenges. I know your company, your franchisees too, have the same challenges as everybody else, but
Sure.
interest rates are higher, so I would guess it's harder to break in and become a new franchisees. Labor costs never seem to go down, and commodity costs. I was shocked to see that the price of chicken was back up again the other day, but these are
Yeah.
real challenges.
Yeah, they are. Although, we'll take those one at a time, David. The inflationary pressures on our business. Fortunately, we are still a member of the Yum! Purchasing Co-op. And so we have the advantage of a brand our size, 900 restaurants, buying with tens of thousands of restaurants with the Yum! System. So we have a purchasing co-op, which is a nonprofit. It is managed and overseen, if you may, by franchisees throughout all the brands, Yum! Brands as well as ours. So that last year and now this year, in fact, this morning I got the latest forecast for this year. We've been running back down to normal over the last 2 years at about 2%. Our basket of goods has been up about 2% last year and about the same this year, which is about half of what was originally forecasted for this year. But they're not coming down. They're not coming down. And the same holds true with equipment and new development. Interest rates are high. That has slowed down some development in terms of a new restaurant, new dirt, if you may, new buildings. We pivoted a couple of years ago, about 2 years ago. We pivoted to non-traditional travel plazas, mall food courts. And most recently, in fact, we're in a beginning of a 5 or 6 store test that started very well in putting locations in Walmarts as a non-traditional development. So we pivoted there. Interest rates, hopefully, we'll start to see some reduction in rates. They've certainly quit going up for a while, and we'll see that. Cost of those materials, lumber, which went crazy during COVID, is way back down. But yeah, there's still the headwinds of costs, development costs, construction costs, real estate costs, and most importantly, rates that are headwinds on new development.
Well, and finding people. I mean, that's what the constant challenge that we hear is, it's odd. I mean, presumably the economy's slow, but the fact is it's hard to get people to work, and then hard to work, at what you guys would probably consider a fair wage.
It has been, but I gotta tell you, our operators, and I think the industry as a whole has adjusted. I don't think the hiring situation, the labor situation has gotten easier. It has stabilized a bit, but the industry, we were a bit later to the game than the major players. I mean, we've offset, for the most part, we've offset it with technology. Our big focus has been, and other brands are ahead of us on this, but we're seeing the benefits of it now, David, is really the biggest area that we have been focusing on is having the customer order themselves, whether it be a self-ordering kiosk, whether it be online, whether it be through their phone. And two-thirds of the consumers prefer to order themselves. So, and it's really not about a labor savings, it's about labor deployment, right? Using that labor to do other things to service the guests, not taking their orders. So we've seen, as our competitors have, we've seen a huge adoption by consumers. And of course, COVID, well, a distant memory in some respects, really accelerated our use, consumers' use of technology, right? And self-ordering is a great example of that.
You know, the locations are interesting because one of the things that I remember hearing coming out of COVID, or actually during COVID, is small restaurants saying, thank goodness we have an end cap and we have a drive-through window. It has saved us. It has kept us going because everybody can go through. You're opening not a lot of new locations that don't seem to have that.
Well, the non-traditionals don't, but anything we do, travel plazas, whatever. I mean, yes, a drive-through, in fact, one of our key learnings out of COVID, drive-throughs and drive-ins saved us. We did extremely well starting in about mid-year of 2020 through 21 because of that, because of restrictions in dining, we had the drive-in. One of the learnings we had out of that was really accelerating our ability to take orders, whether that be self-ordering or a double drive-through. Not so much the pickup window, but two order points. So when we do drive-throughs, and that's, I would say it's still 70% of our development, but it's repurposed building, it's converted, it's second generation buildings that we're doing as opposed to first generation buildings. End caps is another area, but really travel plazas and large, truck stops, gas and convenience stores, those all have drive-through. We won't do those without a drive-through.
But the thing is, you can put up a sign and everybody instantly knows what it is. It's not as though they sit back and say, wonder what that is.
We do have pretty universal brand recognition. And that's not only here, but throughout Southeast Asia as well, which is where most of our international restaurants are.
That's remarkable. Well, look, have a nice summer with your A&W root beer floats, and I'm sure it's going to be a big hit. We will, too. It's good to visit with you.
Always nice. Let's not make it so long next time.
We won't. Kevin
right.
Basner.
Thanks, David.
Chairman and CEO of A&W Restaurants. For more of a conversation, go to krld.com/CEO. I'm David Johnson, News Radio 1080 KRLD.